Has the time come for you to sell your firm? Are you absolutely certain that now is the right time? Or perhaps you're considering purchasing another company and expanding your reach. What boxes should you check before pulling the trigger on such a transaction? Hello, and welcome to the Percussive Maintenance Podcast. I'm Herb Warple, Editor-in-Chief of Engineered Systems, and in this episode, we have the answers to those questions and more. Today, we welcome in Alan Sharfstein, President and CEO of the DAC Group. And through this interview, Alan examines key considerations to help buyers or sellers reach their best valuation, the political roadblocks that exist in the present and the future, and much more. Alan, welcome to the broadcast. If you could, please take a moment and introduce yourself to those who are tuning in.
Thanks, Herb. Yes, I'm Alan Sharfstein. I'm the CEO of the DAC Group. And the DAC Group is a merger and acquisition firm that specializes in the sale of middle market businesses.
So I know you have extensive experience in the HVACR realm, as well as other technical and industrial industries. Can you give us an example of a merger or an acquisition that you've been involved with?
Sure. So though we've done many, many acquisitions in the HVACR industry, one that's notable that I think has gotten a fair degree of publicity is one that we engineered between CalMac and Trane, where CalMac is the world's leading thermal battery storage technology for the HVACR industry. And Trane acquired that business in order to provide a fuller suite of services to its clients.
Okay, wonderful. Well, let's cut right to the chase. And I know that this is a little bit of a loaded question, but if you're a company who's looking to sell, can you name a few key indicators that may help the owner recognize that the time has come to move on?
Sure. You know, when most business owners, sooner or later, have got to face the issue of how do we sell this business? How do I get my money out of it? Sometimes it's a transfer to family or to management, but often it's a transfer to third parties, to outsiders. If I were an owner of a business, I'd look at three things. I'd say, is it the right time in terms of the economy, the broader U.S. economy? How's it doing? And is it the right time? And frankly, right now is a really good time in the U.S. economy. And it's a really good time for M&A in terms of activity and valuations. The second thing I'd look at is the performance of my own business. Am I performing? Is my business performing at a reasonably high level so that it's time to do it? And for many businesses in the HVACR space, it is a really good time. Many businesses have had a really good couple of years. And the third factor, which is a little bit more subjective, is it the right time for me personally? Based on my age, my family situation, am I doing this at the right time for me personally? If all three of those are aligned, absolutely the right time to do this. If two of them are aligned, maybe it is. If only one, probably should wait a little bit.
And Alan, I imagine the answers are the same if you're looking at the deal from the other side of the fence, say a firm or company is looking to buy. What key indicators exist in that manner?
You're right, Herb. It's very much the same type of indicators. The only thing I would say that's probably a little bit different is the question of that a business owner has to address is should we be growing organically or should we be growing through acquisition? If you can continue to grow your business at a double-digit pace organically, then that may be a really good solution for you. But if business has slowed, it becomes a little bit tougher to grow organically, which many businesses have found today, then an acquisition could be a great vehicle to help really expand the business.
All right, well, let's say that we've come to the decision that we're looking to either buy or sell. Can you list a few important pre-transaction tasks that a business should take prior to making such an arrangement?
Sure, so let me address it from the standpoint of the seller first. And frankly, if you just reverse this, it'll be the same for the buyer. When you're looking to sell your business, think of it the way the buyer is gonna look at your business, not the way you look at it as an owner, an operator. But think of the way the acquirer is going to look at your business. And buyers are looking at two basic things when they look at a business. They're looking at the business to say, what are the opportunities to grow this business? Where can it go? How can I grow it? And what can it really represent for me? And the second thing they're looking at is the risks associated with the business. What are the risks that could sink me or could make this a really bad acquisition if I were to do it? So as an example, If we look at things that impact purchase price, and by the way, when people look at purchase price, most people think of purchase price as a multiple of EBITDA, so multiple of earnings. And that's a pretty good metric. But when you look at the HVACR industry, you can find some businesses that sell for double the multiple that others do. So the question is why? And it's a question, that becomes a question of risk and opportunity. So what are risk factors that really concern people? Customer concentration, a big risk factor. Do I have one or a few limited number of customers? If I lose any one of them, could it materially affect my earnings in the business? If I have a broad customer base, probably a really good thing. The other thing that I would say that really drives multiple is the question of what is the composition of your income? Meaning, if a significant portion of your income is repeatable because it comes from maintenance contracts or other types of vehicles that are ongoing, that's going to command a much higher multiple than new construction work, which is perceived to have a higher risk associated with it. So it really is important as a business owner, you look at your business the way the buyer is going to look at it and be able to identify those issues and hopefully address them.
I know the answer to this next question may vary based on the size or the magnitude of the deal, but how long do these type of acquisitions take to occur?
6 months is short. 12 months is reasonable. I would say that if you're expecting to start the process of selling your business, figure it's going to take you somewhere between 6 and 12 months for the deal to happen. And that doesn't mean that it's going to take that much for you to understand who the buyer is and what price they're paying. It's probably half that amount of time to do that. But when you take into consideration the fact that you have lawyers, you have financing sources, you have banks, you have all these other people involved, some of which are out of your control and out of both the buyer and the seller's control, it tends to stretch the process out a little bit.
Okay. Alan, we're filming this in the fall of 2021, so I wouldn't be doing my job properly if I didn't ask about the coronavirus. What impact has COVID-19 had on this market?
I have been shocked by the fact that the market has been as strong as it has despite COVID-19. I mean, if we look at our M&A market overall, last March, April, things slowed down as everybody was trying to figure out what is going to go on in this space. But since then, the market has really been aggressive with a vengeance. Valuations have been high. Buyers have been out there active. And if you take a look at it, you say, why would that be? I think it really is a few things. One is, if we look at from the buyer universe, there are three groups of buyers that are out there. There are the strategic buyers who are looking at businesses, many of whom have record amounts of cash on the balance sheet. So they're out there. We have the private equity buyers who have backed a number of consolidators in the HVACR space, and they have reportedly $3 trillion of raised capital that they're trying to put to work. And the third aspect of it are the non-US buyers. Probably a third of the deals that we're doing today are with buyers from outside the United States who are trying to acquire businesses in the US. You put those three things together, it's virtually a perfect storm. So that's from the buyer side. From the seller side, it's also been very interesting because we've seen large number of business owners make the decision to try to sell their businesses. And many of them are doing it earlier than I would have anticipated. And I think there are two reasons for that. One is the market is so hot that many owners are trying to take advantage of it. Why not? We don't know how long this is going to last. So that's number one. But I think the second part is that it's really been an exhausting 2 years for us. I mean, a year and a half. Coronavirus has, even if our businesses are doing well, has been a strain on all of us who are running businesses. And many business owners have sort of come to the conclusion that it may be a little bit early. It may not be the exact timing that they wanted. But you know what? We're tired. And maybe it just makes sense to take some money off the table now when the situation is right.
So firms who are looking to sell, they want to put as much lipstick on their business as they can and try to make as much money, obviously. So any key considerations to help them reach that best valuation as they go to make this deal?
Yeah. What we typically tell business owners, and by the way, this applies whether you're large or you're small, whether you're thinking of selling today or thinking of selling down the road, is you want to run your business like you're going to own it forever, but prepare to sell it tomorrow. And part of the reason for that is there are just so many buyers out there today approaching businesses that had no intention of selling your business, that the same things apply whether you're thinking of selling or not thinking of selling. And again, I would address some of those same basic issues that I talked about earlier. I talked about customer concentration. I talk about trying to maximize the amount of recurring revenue that I have in my business. I would clean up some of my books and records to make sure that they properly reflect what the business is doing. And the other thing that I would really focus on are your human resource issues, your people. Every buyer who's looking to buy a business, their number one focus is, can we keep and retain the important people within your business? So I certainly would be focusing on, who are my key people? How do I keep them happy? How do I keep them locked in? How do I make sure that if I were to enter a transaction with the business, that they would hang around with the buyer?
Right. And there's a lot of flexibility, too, for those who, say, may get some cold feet. You could do a partial sale. There's franchising options, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons that I think we have such a hot market today. One of the things that we're finding is that, and this goes across a broad array of industries, if we were to look at the transactions that we worked on a decade ago, we found that our owners were, you know, somewhere 65 plus. They were selling because they had no kids going into the business. Time had come to sell, and maybe now's, let's do it today. If we look at business owners today, our average age has dropped by more than 10 years. Average age of sellers has dropped by more than 10 years. So we have owners in their 30s, 40s, and 50s selling businesses. And the reason that they're doing that is because they have more optionality now than they ever had before, meaning that, yes, you could sell all of your business and take a bunch of cash off the table. But frankly, most entrepreneurs can't really retire well. It's not part of their DNA. But they can do other things. They can take a lot of money off the table and sell part of the business and have for example, a private equity firm invested with them who will help fund their expansion, who will take the risk of putting the private equity dollars at risk, but allow that business to grow and eventually allow the owner to get a second bite at the apple. So there are those types of deals that happen with private equity and other types of investors. So business owners today, you can sell all your business, you can sell part of your business, you can sell control, you can sell a minority interest. All of these things are options that business owners have today that a decade ago were really not available. And as a result, we see not only more deals being done, but you see them being done in very many different ways.
Now, I know politics plays a role too. Some of the things we need to consider based on which administration is in power is capital gains and perhaps the estate tax. Can you talk about the role that politics play and maybe the timing that goes in with that, depending on which administration is in office?
Well, I think most of us know that if we were to have a crystal ball, we'd prefer to have done our deal last year when there was absolute certainty around what capital gains would look like in a business. But we don't have that. We probably have a little bit more visibility as to some of the things that are happening. And the one thing we do know that's happening is that tax rates are going up. Capital gains rates are going up. Probably overall corporate tax rates are going up. And we also know that from an estate planning standpoint, there are probably some things that are going to increase the taxes on that level. But I think from a business owner standpoint, you can't let taxes drive your decision. You want to try to do the best you can with whatever tax laws exist. We know there are going to be carve-outs. We know there are going to be still ways of structuring deals to minimize taxes. But none of us can control when new tax laws are going to come into effect. So I think the basic decision is we have to make a decision as what's right for us as business owners. Is it the right time to sell our business? Are we doing it the right time for the business itself? Because let's recognize what happens in the overall environment. Right now we're still in a very frothy environment for our businesses. We know that as soon as the market turns down, and the market will turn down, we just don't know when it's going to happen. We know that when the market turns down, the typical business loses a multiple of somewhere between 1.5 and 2 times EBITDA. So for example, if you had a business that was going to sell for 6 times EBITDA, you'll probably drop to a 4.5 to 5 times EBITDA. If you had a business that was going to sell at 8 times EBITDA, you're probably going to drop to a 6.5 to, you know, or so times EBITDA, 6 to 6.5 times EBITDA. The impact of that drop is going to be gargantuan compared to the tax differential that might exist by playing it so you wait a little bit longer for a new administration or take advantage of it today. So I think the bottom line for business owners are, if it's the right time to sell, make that decision and then work with your appropriate advisors to make sure that you have the best possible tax treatment on these transactions. And by the way, there are significant differences in tax treatment of transactions. So you got to make sure you're getting really good advice.
Alan, we've covered a lot in this. And speaking of advice, is there any one last parting shot that you want to provide to those engineering firm owners who are tuning into this?
Well, the only my one thing I mentioned earlier, and I'll just repeat that because I think it is what every business owner should think about, is that you should continue to run your business like you're going to own it forever, but be prepared to sell it tomorrow. Do the things that are necessary to make sure that you clean up your books, you understand how buyers are going to look at your business, so that you will, when you do make the decision to sell, you'll be able to maximize value. Because the one thing we know is that about half the deals that are being done today in the HVACR space are unplanned transactions. They are business owners who had no intention of selling their businesses, but were approached by someone who made an offer or opened the discussions. And these things are happening faster than most business owners expected. So you may think you know what your time frame is. You may be planning for it. That's okay. But act like you're going to own your business forever, but do the right thing. So if someone approaches you, you don't end up leaving a lot of money on the table.
Alan, fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your advice with us. If those who are tuning in are interested in connecting with you or the DAT Group, where should they turn?
You can email me at A Scharfstein, A-S-C-H-A-R-F-S-T-E-I-N. It's a mouthful, at DAKgroup.com. You could also just very simply go to our website, DAKgroup.com, and that'll give you a link to me, my phone number, and everything else you need to know.
Well, fantastic, Alan. We again, thank you for sharing your expertise with us. We appreciate your time, and we hope to chat again with you soon.
Hey, Herb, thank you very much for the opportunity.
We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Alan Scharfstein. And as he mentioned, if you're interested in connecting with the DAK Group, visit www.dakgroup. That's DAKgroup.com. The Percussive Maintenance Podcast is now available on Spotify. Show your support for industry journalism by rating and reviewing this podcast. Doing so will help us reach a much broader audience. Also, please subscribe or bookmark us so that you can enjoy all of our past and future episodes. We appreciate your continued support. And remember, if you can't fix it with your brain, you can always rely on a swift kick. We'll see you next time.